Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Welcome back. I'm happy to be here. I hope you are too. I missed you guys. It seemed like I was gone for a really long time, but I guess it was only 2 weeks, the standard cycle. It's just that I did a mini-sode in between the last regular format and this one, so maybe that's why I feel like we just haven't talked in such a long time. So I have a lot to say, I guess. I've done a few thrift hauls since we last hung out. I have some new Patreon subscribers. I've scheduled a bunch of interviews for this year, which I'm really excited about. I've got some pretty cool people to come talk to us. I am going to be interviewing Amy today, an architect from Dallas who's really into a repurposed life and loves thrifting. So that'll be fun for us. I'm going to review a record for you today. And I am going to tell you guys a little bit about the social media stuff I've been doing. Let me start with that and get that out of the way. So the first thing I want to do is tell you guys I'm about 50 followers away from 1,000 followers on Instagram. And so if you haven't followed the podcast on Twitter or Instagram or join the Facebook group, do so now. We have about 700 members in the Facebook group, something like that, 650. So join there. I would love to have you follow me on Instagram. I post a lot of thrifting memes on there, and I try to generate different content for each platform. So I'm not reposting the same thing over and over. Each platform gives me a different way to chat with you guys about thrifting. I'm trying to figure out the Twitter sphere. I've never been really big on Twitter. So I need a Twitter ambassador. Anybody listening to this podcast who knows all the things about Twitter, loves thrifting, and wants to be a Thrift Therapy ambassador, you need to email me stat. Because I need you, and I will pay you in thrift. In fact, I'll give you a thrift bag subscription for free, and all you have to do is help Thrift Therapy get out there on Twitter. So email me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com, and I'll send you the details, and we can work out a plan. Because I need to understand Twitter better. I need to get that platform moving. I just started it, and it's not good, you guys. I can't figure it out. I don't know what makes people like Twitter. Help! So, there's that. Let's see, what else do I have for you guys? Oh, yeah, I have some new Patreon subscribers. Amy joined the Patreon group in January, or right after she got her December thrift bag, and she did so because she loved her one-off thrift bag. In fact, here's what she had to say about it. I received my first one-off thrift bag last month and had to come on and become a regular patron. That bag was the best Christmas present I received. I am also devouring your pods and just caught up that you're an actual therapist. I am also a therapist in private practice and love thrifting and vintage. I have often thought of opening a consignment vintage store and called it retail therapy. Come get some therapy, leave with the brooch. That's hilarious. I love it. You should do that. But can you do me a favor and make it 24 hours, at least one day a week, because that's what the world really needs, Amy. Just some night of the week. We just need a thrift day that we can get up at any time when we're not sleeping and go hit a thrift. I love it. Well, I'm so glad you became a subscriber, and it just makes me thrilled to know that it was your best Christmas present. That's amazing. Wow. I also have a new subscriber, Ann Kay, and I am really excited to shop for you, Ann. Thank you for signing up. I want you to know that if you haven't filled out a survey, everybody that signs up for a thrift bag needs to fill out a survey so I kind of know what to stuff in your awesome thrift bag. Like, you give me a little information and I give you a lot of thrift. So if you want to sign up for a thrift bag, you can do so at my website, which is thrifttherapypod.com. Go to the thrift bag section and it'll walk you through it. If you want to have a subscription, you just choose the Patreon option. If you only want to do a one-time thrift bag, you choose the PayPal option. Pretty simple. Now listen, I have a new way for you guys to support the podcast. If you don't like Patreon, you don't like PayPal, I get it. You don't want to do those things. Well, Anchor, the hosting platform I use, whom I love, they're the best. They are always making podcasting so easy, and I just appreciate them so much. They have set up a way for you to support the podcast through their platform. You just go to Anchor FM, search for Thrift Therapy, and it'll give you option to support the podcast. They have different levels, I think. And thank you, Wendy, for supporting the podcast at the 99-cent level. I really appreciate you. And I look forward to having more support through that additional platform. Woot woot! Thrift Therapy is going places, you guys. I'm so excited about the community that's building around this. I've met so many great people. So I have a few really cool things I'm working on that I can't tell you guys about just yet. But boy, are they cool. I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you because I think you guys are going to be so stoked. And one of my personal childhood dreams is finally coming true. So you're just going to have to stay tuned and I will tell you as soon as I can. In other news, I went and did a bunch of thrifting. So let me just jump right into the thrift hauls. Everybody knows, well, that's a dumb way to start. Most people know, most thrifters know, that's probably the most accurate way to say that, that New Year's is big sale day. And thrift stores get on that bandwagon too. And I have a couple thrift stores that I frequent on big sale days like Memorial Day, New Year's Day, yada, yada, yada. I like them in particular because they have entire store sales. So Thrift City, Family Thrift, Texas Thrift, I think that's the three, have store-wide sales, and they're usually 50% off. And it's anything you touch in the store is 50% off. So those are my favorite ones to go through because some of the ones closer to me, some of the ones I frequent throughout the week when it's not a big sale, they have like color tag sale, like 75% off. But by the time I get there, there's none of the color tags I want. And I feel like it's a trap to make me buy regular price stuff. No way. I'm there for the sale. So I skip those now and I just do the store-wide ones because it takes forever. There's tons of people. The checkout lines are really long. So I find if I just do one or two of those, I'm really good for the day, which that's what I did this New Year's Day. I just went to one. I took my son. He wanted to go along, and we did a big thrift. Now, I didn't find as much as I normally find because we didn't get there until about 2 in the afternoon, which is way too late. You need to get there pretty early, like preferably the first couple hours the store is open. And if you can, be in line. That's the way to go. But I managed to score a couple really cute dresses. I got a little velvet fit and flare dress with gorgeous sleeves that I really love. Probably my favorite find of the day was a giant wool hand-woven scarf that, it's not really a scarf, it's more like a cape, right? That you just wrap around all over you and feel snuggly and warm and cool. I wore that on an outfit of the day and I posted that on Instagram. thrifttherapypod_outfit of the day. Now I have two Instagram accounts. One is just for the podcast. It's Thrift Therapy Pod. And that's where I post all the memes and help wanted signs and, you know, just whatever's on my DIY projects. But I have one that's a little more personal and it's just me getting dressed every day. And I turn that into my outfit of the day thread because not everybody wants to look at outfits of the day. But since mine are all thrifted, I thought, why not? So if you're interested in seeing how I styled that particular dress and that particular cape thingy, follow me on Instagram at thrifttherapypod_outfitoftheday. Now it or OOTD. If you forget any of these, just go to my website, thrifttherapypod.com, and I have all my social media links there because you have to have dots and underscores and you have to mix up the names a bit. So you can't just have the same one across all platforms. I don't know. I guess it can start to be taken or it just doesn't fit the format or whatever. So instead of making you guys write them all down or try to remember them, I just put them on the website with little icons and you can just follow the link. I got this, the rest of the stuff I got for thrift boxes, and I got this rad sateen leopard print dress that's sort of fitted and ruched with this really cool beaded neckline. It was like $2. I got this vintage sequin top that was I ended up being $250. Gorgeous. I have this really, really cool like 1970s wool bomber jacket that's two-tone gray. Dying. $3. I got a couple cute little vintage purses and this really adorable swan vase. And the purses were $2 a piece and the swan vase was 50 cents. That's right. 50 cents. I love it. And then I scored some really cool accessories. I got one of my thrift baggers, an oven mitt with some vintage owls on it. It's adorable. Aaliyah is gonna die. She's gonna love this. And I got this really cool, accidentally thrifted, this really cool beanie that still had the tags on it. And I got it for $1. And it's by this pretty high-end designer I didn't know anything about called Tabitha Webb. And that's Webb. So it just, when I got home and I was looking at it, I was like, this seems really, really nice for $1. And the tag, the label just looked really richy or bougie, So I looked it up, and sure enough, they have some on eBay exactly like the one I got with the tag on it. And they're all selling for around $20. And that's secondhand. So I went to their website, and the stuff on the website is pretty pricey. It's in that mid-tier fashion range where it's not super high-end, but it's sort of the high-end ready-to-wear, like Marc Jacobs or something like that. So it's about the same price as that. The sweaters there run, about $200, et cetera, et cetera. So I was pretty impressed with myself for that score, and I didn't even know how awesome it was. I just have a good eye, right? Like you do this long enough, you just get a good eye for what's hot, what's quality. And Amy and I in the interview are going to talk a lot more about how to thrift quality. And in fact, we came up with some great ideas for future guests, which I've already been working on. I got a really cool vintage belt and this bizarre but unique and very rad scarf necklace thingy that I think I'm going to deconstruct and use the giant gold face that came on it and turn it into a necklace without the scarf. I don't know. We'll see. It's a little bit of a project, but it was $3 and it was so weird that I just had to have it. I like weird stuff. What can I say? So that was pretty, and then my son got a bunch of clothes. That was pretty much the thrift haul for that day. And we didn't go anywhere else because we got a late start. But I did really enjoy it. And it was really nice to have my son along. I usually go by myself. And so I found it neat to have the company. It'd been a while since I'd done a social thrift like that. Then I scored a really nice pair of baby blue patent leather princess type pumps from Ted Baker London for $19 on eBay, and that was free shipping. They are so pretty, you guys. I can't wait to style them. And thanks to Madeline, a thrift therapy follower who ta she does some work in another group that I'm in. She noted that baby blue is going to be a big trend this year. So, aren't I special? I'm on trend for $19. Thanks, eBay. Now, let me tell you about today's thrift haul because it's kind of funny. You guys may think that I'm super polished on the thrift and I've just got it all down, but today's story is going to show you that that's not true. I still have room for improvement. So, look, first of all, it started off really awesome because I woke up extra early, not on purpose. I just woke up thinking about this project I'm working on. So I just decided to get up, and that allowed me to get to my Sunday dollar sourcing spot early and stand in line. And we were the first in line for the first time. Now, this is such a hot spot for resellers that there's a line that forms at the door before the store opens. Usually, there's the same people there in line, and there's this one ponytail guy that pushed me like the second time we ever went, and my husband has not forgiven him for that. And so, his mission in life is to always beat ponytail guy. So we beat Ponytail Guy today, and sure enough, we were the first ones there. We were by ourselves for about 10 minutes because we were just really early. And who comes along the path next? Ponytail Guy. So it was pretty fun. It got off to a good start. But maybe that went to my head. I don't know, because once we got inside, I did my usual thing. But somewhere after the first rack of dollar items and the jewelry, I got the tag colors switched. And I was pulling all the purple tags because I thought they were a dollar. And I was like, holy shit, there's so many. How are people missing this stuff? But I just kept going like a foolish person. And so I get all this. I have like this cart that's just piled so high you can barely see me. So I tell my husband I'm ready to sort, and we go through and we go yes or no. And then he, because he's younger and he has better eyes than me, he goes through and checks everything out for stains or tears or rips or just malfunctioning things. And then they go in the yes pile after that. So we get ready to do our sorting business. And he's like, why do you have all these purple tags? And I was like, because they're a dollar. And he's like, no, they're the red tags are a dollar. So that was really disappointing. I did manage to laugh it off, but my haul was much smaller than I wanted it to be because I thought I cannot buy all the stuff at the regular price and make the thrift bags and the amount of thrift I've been buying this week lucrative or smart. So what I need to do is cut everything in half, and then from those, move on, get some of the purple tags, and then try to, just parse it down a lot more than usual. So I did that, but it cut my haul in half pretty much. I still did manage to get a lot of cool stuff. And I would say the majority of it was a dollar, but I had picked up these handful of dresses that were purple tagged that I just couldn't put back. Let me see. And I did take some pictures of it. So there was a purse, a vintage purse, a pair of jeans, a vintage dress that I actually found the belt for in the belt section. And I didn't know that it matched the dress until I got home to do the flat lay. And I was like, holy shit, that's amazing. At least you're consistent and you like all the same things, or you would have never found that belt and picked it up. So a pair of jeans, two dresses, and a purse and a hat were all regular price, and then everything else I got was half off. So it worked out good. It was just super disappointing to go from a mountain of clothes to like a foothill of clothes, if you know what I mean. So I don't have my shit all together. I have room for improvement, and I maybe we already know that anyway, right? Because I don't know. I don't care how long you've been doing something. There's always room to grow. And I learn so much from the people I have come on the show and do the interviews with me. But it was really humbling to make such a big ass mistake after gloating that we'd be ponytail guy. I mean, humility pie, right? Moving on. It's thrifted vinyl time. The record I'm going to be reviewing for you today is Captain and Tennille. Well, excuse me, The Captain and Tennille. And the name of the record is Love Will Keep Us Together. Pretty famous song, really adorable cover, you know, sexy white 70s couple. She's got the Dorothy Hamill haircut and just a little bit longer style. He looks like somebody who likes to drink a lot of bourbon before 8 p.m. I don't know. That's not meant to be judgmental. He's got sunglasses on and he looks a little stoned. That's all I'm saying. He's got his turtleneck on though, and they have two adorable giant bulldogs in their arms. Cute, cute, cute. And the song that I'm going to be sampling for you is Love Will Keep Us Together, of course. It's pretty. And then another song I enjoy is called I Write the Songs. Now, some of you may know this as an Elton John song, but here you go. Here's a different sounding version of that song. What do you think? I think it's a pretty slow kind of version. I think it slowed down a bit. I could be wrong about that. It just sounds like it's a bit slower. I like it though. I like the kind of weird, creepy choir sounds at the beginning and the end. I get this kind of exorcist vibe happening. I recently watched a movie called The Nun, and in some of the creepy sequence, they had weird sounding music, and that's kind of what it reminded me of. So that made me like it even more. You know, I write the songs that make people cry, and then weird chanting music. Perfect, perfect. But let's see. Oh, let's do the more famous song, Love Will Keep Us Together. I'm sure you're already catching the vibe. And so, you know, I was dancing around my house a bit as I was recording this. I love that song, and I would give this record a 3 out of 5 Nagels because all the rest of the songs really suck in my opinion. They're super slow and annoying, and they just don't have any, they're not memorable, and I don't resonate with any of them. So I guess that's why I don't like any of the other songs. But the two songs that are on there are worth a star each. And I think the really adorable dogs on the cover are worth another star or nagel. So have your nagels, enjoy it. But definitely don't buy this if you don't love the two songs that I played for you. Skip it. But if you like bulldogs, get it. That's sort of, it's you know, it's a toss coin kind of record. It's time for the interview, and I'm really excited to talk with Amy. She has been a longtime listener of Thrift Therapy, and she's also a Patreon subscriber. But not only that, Amy is an eco-conscious thrifter who also is an architect and a mother. She is a busy, busy woman, and she took the time to talk to me, and I really appreciate it. The reason I wanted to talk to Amy is because she is a designer hound. She can sniff him out as good as my dog can, who's a basset hound. And you know, they're bred to hunt rabbits. Well, Amy, she's good at sniffing out designer finds at thrift stores. Let me run over some labels that she's found just last year in 2018. Saint Laurent, Max Mara, Gucci, Eileen Fisher, Halston, Diane von Furstenberg, Zach Posen, Jill Sander, Caroline Herrera, Alexander Wang, and Manolo Blahnik. Now, she's a high-end shopper in part because of her career. She likes to dress very posh and polished, you know, professional. We'll talk about that in the interview. But her location adds a lot to her ability to find these brands. She's in Dallas, Texas, and some of you may find yourself in similar locations where there is an affluent community of professional people who buy high-end garments and who are constantly donating to stay on trend or on season. And if you're like Amy, you're going to hunt those down like a thrift hound, hashtag thrift hound, and you're going to look like $1 million without paying hardly anything at all. Without further ado, here's Amy. Hi, Amy. Welcome to Thrift Therapy.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm excited to finally get to talk to you. We've been trying to meet up for a few weeks now.
Yeah, sorry about that. I know we're both so busy.
I know, but that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. I like that I'm so busy. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes life a lot more interesting. I really just hate to be bored, so it works out.
Oh my God, boredom is so bad. Existentialists think boredom is like next to death anxiety. It's one of the worst feelings.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
You might be an existentialist then. You never know.
I'll take it.
Well, I guess. I mean, I just think having a philosophy is really fun. What do you think some of your philosophies are?
Oh, I just always try to, you know, go out there in the world and, you know, do what I can for other people. And just, I always am huge on the environment. And I think that's one of the things that I'm really engaged with, you know, both at work and in my personal life. Like I walk the lake and pick up trash every Sunday and just do little things that I can do. And so thrifting is kind of a way of recycling and making sure that, you know, you're using as few kind of virgin resources as possible and go out there and put into the world what you want to get out of it.
Actually, that's a pretty good philosophy. Put into the world what you want to get out of it. I really like that. I think that's what I like about thrifting is it's so easygoing. You know, we're not trying to complicate everything so much, you know? It's just like, oh, what cool thing can I find today? What thing can I rescue?
Yeah, agree. It's such a fun kind of mindless activity, but it's also just a really cool treasure hunt and just to kind of discover something that was left behind and, you know, reuse it even in some way. It just feels good to, like, you know, just get out there and discover things and not just go purchase something off the shelf.
Totally. What got you into thrifting, Amy?
So when I was a child, I would often go with my grandmother, and we were up in a small town in Florida, and it just had, you know, a high percentage of the population was just elderly, the blue hairs, as, you know, we would call them. And we had extensive thrift stores with a lot of vintage clothing in them. And so my grandma would always take us, you know, just kind of out of fun and maybe a little bit out of necessity. And, you know, we would go and browse. And I just remember being, you know, just very on the prowl for anything that was unique and different, and just had a blast, you know, with her kind of going through the racks and searching for that really cool find.
Oh, that's cool. Is your grandma still with us?
Yes, she is. Yeah, she has advanced Alzheimer's. So I just visited her recently, but she was a really cool lady. Yeah.
Does she still thrift?
No, she's pretty elderly now. And she, you know, she didn't do it much after I kind of finished high school. But I kind of, you know, carried on, you know, here and there through college. And then kind of left it behind for probably 10 years as I was working, and then kind of started when I moved to Dallas, started going to a few thrift stores here and there, and realized that, you know, the inventory that, you know, is here is so much better, you know, than other places that I have lived. So thought, you know, it's a lot more fun to take advantage of it here, especially with a lot of designer finds.
Oh, cool. I've heard, and you mentioned to me too in one of our chats that like there's a lot of high-end goods that people donate that you can thrift there. Are there certain brands that you really look for when you're out thrifting?
You know, nothing in particular. I mean, there's definitely been times where I've had something in mind, like, and I know you've talked a lot about that, and, you know, somehow like the thrift gods provide it to you, so something will surface. But I found some just amazing brands, you know, here locally, and I have a list that I actually just put together of just items that I found over the last, you know, year or so here within my neighborhood. If you're interested, but just a couple of the finds are that I thought were just really cool were a vintage Pendleton blanket that I found like in perfect condition, and that was something that I was really on the hunt for, and just hoping that one day I would discover that. So that and some Saint Laurent pants, Max Mara. I found quite a few Max Mara items, Gucci. So just a long list of some really cool finds.
Those sound really cool. I'd love to have some pictures of those, especially the blanket to share with the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Pendleton. I'm randomly throughout the years, I found an oddly high number of Pendleton blazers. Well, I love their signature plaids. They're
Yeah,
really cool.
absolutely.
Is
Yes.
your blanket plaid?
No, it's one of the kind of more of a Navajo type
Oh, yeah.
design. Yes. I forget what it's called. I did a lot of research looking it up, and didn't really come up with anything conclusive, just kind of a range of the years. It's about 30 years old.
I remember those designs because I'm old. I remember those, and they are really pretty. And they are sort of, yes, they do have a Native American feel. I don't know exactly what the origin of those patterns are, but they are really beautiful. I don't see very many of those in my neck of the woods. Do you find many of those in Dallas?
No, I had heard a podcast where someone was looking for one repeatedly. Maybe it was one on one of your earlier podcasts, and just had it in the back of my mind and just kept looking, just kind of kept combing through the blankets and discovered one like a few weeks maybe after, maybe just a couple of trips after I hadn't started to look for one. So it was just a really good find, and it's just so
Yeah.
fun to discover something that just has a little bit of history, especially, you know, researchable history.
Yes, definitely. Do you remember how much you paid for it? Was it a steal?
Oh yeah, it was like $5, and it's in perfect condition. So I think the resale value on it is maybe 200.
That's so
It
cool.
could be
I love
more
it.
depending on which one it is, but I couldn't find enough about it.
Well, when you were naming all the designers, I was getting a little, my heartbeat was getting a little bit faster. I will say I really love vintage, and I'm definitely always on the prowl for vintage things. And it's just kind of like whatever it is, I'll try to squeeze my fat ass into it and I want it. And now I just buy it and send it to thrift baggers. But I don't have, I guess it's like this. I love vintage, but I also love with equal fervor finding a good designer item in the wild, in the thrift. I don't feel like it's an either or. Like I need to be vintage or designer because I really do like both equally.
Yeah, absolutely. Each are their own little treasure.
And I also feel like I've really won. So, you know, it's like I can't decide if it feels like I've won the lottery or if I like was a cat burglar and stole something from a museum. I'm not sure which one. Like, it feels like I did a heist or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to be very stealthy. I think when I found that Pendleton blanket, I quickly grabbed a cart because I didn't want to walk around holding it, and I threw it at the bottom of a cart, and then I threw another blanket over top of it just to shield it because I didn't want anyone to recognize it and take it from me.
That's kind of the best. It is kind of like that when you find something really cool that you know other people are going to want.
You so I remember in a previous podcast, I think JT and I were talking about you have to be like real like quiet about it and kind of like pretending like it's not very cool, like, oh, that old thing, you know, what is that? What's that old dusty thing over there?
Yeah,
You're gonna
absolutely.
have to play it off and be really chill. Yeah, that's good. So what do you think, if I were gonna come to Dallas and do a bunch of shopping, like, what are some of the best stores in Dallas?
Sure. Well, I live over in East Dallas, and East Dallas is pretty cool. I mean, I feel like it's a little bit like Austin in a way. It's just kind of trendy and hip, and there's just a lot of breweries, and it's just a very kind of casual place to live. I love it. So we've got some really great thrift stores over here. And one that I just love a lot is Garland Road Thrift. I can't imagine how many square feet it is, but probably in excess of 30,000 square feet. It's quite large. And that's where I found the Pendleton blanket. And so that one has all kinds of great knickknacks. I found a lot of cool vintage pottery there. And I have an obsession with like any handmade pottery. Yeah, and I also found some really interesting Borneo brass ear stretchers and this necklace from the South Pacific, and it was framed in like this gorgeous, like probably $300 to $500 curio frame, and just for like $15, it was just such a cool, interesting find. So I feel like that location just has a lot of cool, kind of eclectic, fun finds. I feel like they must get a lot of kind of estate sale leftovers.
Ooh, yeah, it sounds like it. And what's the name of it again?
It's Garland Road Thrift, and it's on Garland Road. It's quite a large store, and it's open. It has great hours, so I feel like that's a store that on occasion I'll just even pop into after work in the evening.
Oh, yes, I love a 9 to 9 thrift store. My
Know
favorite.
you want a 24-hour thrift store.
I do. And if I ever open a thrift store, maybe I'll open one day a week, 24 hours.
I love it. I would totally attend in the middle of the night in a bout of insomnia, wake up and go attend Levi's
It'll be
store.
like, what day is it? Is it Tuesday? Oh my God, I can thrift overnight, right?
I'm
But then
totally in.
it's
As long as you have a wine bar, we're good.
oh my God, that's such a great idea. So it's thrifting, wine, and it's all the things, but only on Tuesday.
Yeah,
That's it.
absolutely.
Maybe they're shuffleboard. I mean, like, what else do we need to cram into one day? Because you know I'm going to be dead for 3 days afterwards.
Sounds
What a fun
fast.
idea.
Yeah, that would be terrific. There's some other really great ones here. I think Genesis is just a good cause, and they have a lot of women's clothing, a lot of high-end women's clothing as well, and that benefits a shelter. Casa View Thrift is a really cool one. It's a smaller shop, but it also has a lot of good kind of designer finds. I found a Max Mara trench coat there that was like in new condition recently. And St. Vincent de Paul location here on Northwest Highway is a good one. I found some really great pieces there. A lot of really high-end. Like a Gucci leather paneled skirt. And the Thrift Giant that's on Northwest Highway. I think there's a couple locations over there. That one also has a lot of good things and a lot of children's clothing, which, you know, I find is just opportunity to save some money considering kids grow so rapidly.
Do you have children?
I have a son who's 5 years old. Yeah.
Adorable. Does he
Yes.
thrift?
He does. He's beginning to hate it. So I've taken a little less frequently. He
That's
loves a good toy score, but he's like, Mom, you know, can we hurry this up? So, but you know, it's a good lesson for him too, because I love to give him his allowance and say, hey, we can go to the mall and you can purchase Legos. You know, you have $10. Here's what you could buy at the store. And then, you know, we go to a thrift store and he scores a whole bag of Legos for like $5. So I think it's a good opportunity to, you know, teach children the value of a dollar.
Amy, I love that. That's so smart. You're thinking really far ahead. It's so true. And if he stays on trend with most of the people that I've interviewed, he'll circle back to it. Like, he'll hate it all the way through his teenage years, and then something will click, probably when he gets a job or a car, and
Absolutely.
he'll be like, oh yeah, that thrifting thing is pretty rad.
Totally. You start working for a living and you understand, right? Yeah.
You got to have a perspective shift from the teenage years because we're just really egocentric when we're teenagers. Like, we don't have, if we haven't experienced it or we don't think it's interesting, we give no shits.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But just bide your time and all that. I'm back.
You'll
That'll
come
be fun.
around. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I wonder what trend like kids in your generation will embrace from thrifting. Like right now it's 80s stuff from when I was a teenager, and kids are like all about these really hideous sweaters that quite frankly weren't even cute when I was, when it was fashionable. And they're all about them right now. What's your pick? What do you think the trend is going to be when your kid is a teenager and hits a thrift store with joy?
Oh my God, that's a good question. I guess probably some skinny jeans and who knows? I'm trying to think of some ugly trends that I had like in the 90s in school. So maybe some crop tops with some padded shirts. Who knows?
Oh yeah. Oh, maybe the oh I okay, I've got it. It's
Remember the
trending.
Genera, the multicolored like heat activated shirts? Those will probably
No.
come back.
What? Say that again. Say all of that again.
I remember the Genera. Do you remember the Genera heat activated shirts where you touch the shirt and it left a handprint on the shirt? It was like evidence of groping someone practically.
Oh my
Do you not
God,
remember
I think somebody wore them.
these? I could just see that coming back.
I've got it. Okay, so those, yeah, I don't know what those are, but those sound like they need to come back. And I think it's going to be skate t-shirts by Birdhouse
Oh, absolutely.
and low rise jeans with a like a 1-inch zipper.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I'm calling. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But okay. So your kiddo thrifts. Do you have a partner? Do they thrift?
No, not at all. It's something that I like to do alone, and it's just
All
kind of
right.
a little hobby for myself and some decompression time. I think it's enjoyable just to get out there and just let your mind kind of, relax as you kind of browse about. It's the same hobby, that I have in terms of when I go to any department store as well. I just feel like I kind of meander around, without any particular goal and just waste a little time and a little money. So,
You use thrifting as kind of a self-care, it sounds like.
yeah, I agree. I just feel like it's just a nice kind of activity in terms of whether you go to the mall versus whether you go to a thrift store. If you're going to go out and do that, you can now definitely do a lot less damage to your pocketbook if you're just looking to browse.
I agree. That's sort of where it is for me these days too. Except for the thrift bags, it's still something that it's just a kind of self-care. I just like that wandering feeling. Like, I just feel like I'm wandering around in the thrift desert.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Now, I know you're into thrifting. I know you like brands. I know you're in Dallas, so you've got a good eye and a lot of opportunity for brands. You're a parent. You're fashion-y. But what else do you do? Like, what's your gig? What's your main thing?
I'm an architect and I do a lot of it's a multifamily retail, a lot of different project types. And so I love some art and look for I try to collect art when I can, especially when I travel. And I'm always kind of looking for some cool, amazing find at a thrift store. I haven't found anything yet, but I always keep my eye peeled for something fantastic. And I run a little bit and lift weights and just travel when I can. That's really, the ultimate goal here is that, thrifting is kind of an opportunity to save more money to, put towards other things, like traveling. So, it just works all the way around.
Oh, that's really interesting. An architect. So I don't know a lot about architecture. I do have a friend who's an architect here in town, but what's your day-to-day like? Do you have a firm? Are you freelance? What's your sort of daily experience like?
I work for a firm. It's a firm downtown in Dallas, and we're about 65, 70 people, and so I do have a long day. I usually, I'm at work. I drop my son off, so I'm usually work like 8:30, and then end up leaving, somewhere between 6 and 7, and then come home and work a little bit more usually. So it's a pretty full day, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and have an opportunity to kind of look at design, all day long, and also do the business side of things. But yeah, I really enjoy it.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so nice when you get to have a creative career that you enjoy, that's also lucrative and that meets a lot of your different needs. It sounds like you have something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do have a special interest in sustainability. So we are always trying to produce LEED projects. Integrate sustainability into all aspects. So I think that kind of comes back to, the idea of recycling and not using natural resources.
Interesting. I as you were talking about architecture, and I'm thinking about the creative process and that sort of intersection between, I wonder where thrifting and architecture intersect. And it sounds to me like where they intersect for you is in your sustainability value and how you think about maybe environmental protections and participation in, I don't know, I guess what would you call it? It's just like I think of it as participation, really. How do you think of sustainability? Maybe you can talk to myself and the listeners about how we can think about it as thrifters. What kind of things do you have for us to think
Yeah,
about?
I think just kind of assessing, your environmental impact, on the earth. And, when we purchase a lot of fast fashion, we're using up a lot of resources. And there's also the socioeconomic, impacts, of that as well. And I think you had a really good speaker on a couple of weeks ago, and I believe she was from France. I forget her name, but I know she spoke a lot about that, so I don't want to go too far into that. But I think in terms of just assessing kind of your responsibility and your impact on the earth, and it's a way to just not go out there and not purchase, fast fashion, using a lot of our, resources, and taking your own resources and allocating them in a responsible way. So I mean, I really try to be conscious of how much money, I do spend, on myself, and, how I can better allocate that, towards saving or towards, another use like traveling. So I think, if you go through the process and assessing, if you have, $100, whatever, for as an example, for the month, for clothing, do you purchase at a high-end department store? What would your $100 buy? Do you purchase fast fashion and then compare it to what you could purchase at a thrift store? It's just a much more kind of responsible, approach to it. And also kind of just reuse. So sometimes, in a project, if we go in and do an adaptive reuse project, we'll go through and assess kind of what's in the building and how best you can reuse it. So also when you're thrifting, if you can find an item, like for example, furniture, and say, how can I reuse this, whether that be in another way or whether it be a repair. And it just kind of forces you to be creative, I think.
I agree 100%. And it just immediately when you said that, I thought of this television show I've been binge watching that I can't believe I just discovered. Let me ask you if you have ever seen it. Have you ever seen Flea Market
Oh,
Flip?
yes, that's a good one.
I'm so excited to have found it. And I don't even know how I found it. I must have been in a deep dive on like reality shows or something. But I finally found it and I've been binge watching it. And I love it because they do that. That's exactly what they do. They send people out into the flea market. They give them X amount of dollars and they give them three prompts for like their creativity, right? So you may, I'm going to make something up, but it's something like maybe you have to do something architecturally
Right.
inspired. And then you have to do something that is represents the forest. And then you have to do like a dining area or something. So they'll give you like three different kinds of props. I don't know if this is true, but what it seems to be is they'll give you one abstract one concrete one, and then maybe an art project.
Right. Yeah,
I
I
don't know.
vaguely
I've
remember that.
art.
Yes. Okay.
Anyway, so they're doing that thing that you just talked about where you have to take materials that already exist and re-envision them in a different way. And I just love seeing what people come up with. The latest one I watched, these kiddos made a, they were pretty awesome, a genius duo. They made a old lamppost shade into an aquarium. They got it for $5, made this rad ass aquarium with a light in it. And then they built a bookshelf out of old railings they found in a garbage can, you know, like old like siding railings, but they're metal.
I think I saw one that had a I don't know, some kind of like disc, and where they created some kind of bizarre end table where and the woman was stating that it could hold like, I don't know, five drinks or something bizarre, and it didn't even stand up very well, but it's a fun show.
It is really fun. And I always think about what I want to do. So I find it inspiring. When you do your architectural work, do you what kind of inspiration do you draw on to create something?
Oh goodness. I don't design a whole lot anymore. I feel like I've kind of been relegated to the business side of things as I've progressed in my career. But you know, I always love to take inspiration just from nature, and just look at kind of like biometric forms and things like that. And you know, I find that fascinating. So that's often how I would start a concept when I was designing more.
So when you get dressed for work, let's say, because you have a kind of, I'm just guessing, like a sort of professional attire required
Sure,
job.
and fairly monochromatic, unfortunately, because I just feel like I'm always trying to just purchase things that are long lasting and are stapled items when I'm purchasing new anyway. So I feel like I'm relegated to that kind of architect black wardrobe, which I try to break out
It's
of.
tough. I get that. I noticed that I have an upcoming court thing I'm going to be doing. And I'm thinking, okay, I've got to dress professionally, which, quite frankly, is not something I'm good at. I have no idea what I'm doing. I need some
Just be boring.
advice. And I'm imagining. Say
Just
again.
be boring, which is certainly not you.
No wonder I'm failing. So I need some tips on finding boring things at a thrift store because, you know, of course, like what I find right away is like the loudest polyester dress that I absolutely need. So, like, what's your thrift process for a professional
Oh,
wardrobe?
I'm just always looking, I think, for kind of basic, nice, you know, structured items. You know, I love a good, you know, nice pair of kind of pencil pants and maybe kind of a cool, you know, silk shirt. I'm always looking for some vintage kind of shirts, and then, you know, a nice structured blazer to go on top of that with, you know, an accessory. I do have like an addiction to scarves in general. So, yeah, I love to kind of layer things up, and I often don't spend too much time, you know, getting ready in the morning. I love to look at your photographs because I'm like, oh God, I should be more creative and interesting. But usually I'm just trying to get breakfast out of my son and fly out the door. So.
Well, I do have an advantage. My son does all of that for himself. The only part I have to do is fly out the
Yeah.
door.
I
So,
look forward to
back when I was
that.
in your position, yes, it's wonderful. Back when I was in your position where, you know, I had to get everyone ready. Yeah, I mean, it was certainly like what you're saying. I sort of would get into a little bit more of what I guess I would call a getting dressed rut. I wasn't in a fashion rut because I had all the cool stuff. It's just putting it all together during those, I guess, critical moments where you're trying to get everything done. It wasn't fun, so I just wouldn't do it. Yeah, it was just jeans and t-shirts and tennis shoes probably. Like just the And then, you know, once I would get everybody situated, get my job done, get my schooling done, get all that stuff done, then if there was a date or it was time to go out and have fun, then I could play around with fashion again. So you walked us through your day wardrobe, and I just want to sum up a few things. It sounds like if you need to dress professionally and you thrift, a couple good things to do is look for some key structured pieces, which would be like maybe pants, a jacket. I don't know, a shift dress, pencil skirts, that
Yeah,
kind of thing.
absolutely. I try to keep it to basics and then layer in some nice accessories that are just more fun and colorful. Also, like, just a really great pair of shoes. I did score some really fantastic Manolos that are metallic at a consignment shop for like $20 that were brand new. And, you know, I tend to wear those a lot. And I feel like I can take something that's fairly basic and just dress them up with, you know, with just a really fun accessory.
That's great advice, and I'm going to be thinking about that as I try to find something boring to put on my body. Amy says, be boring, but add a cool accessory. That's okay. So I'm probably going to walk into court. I'm going to be like in this really boring-ish suit for me, right? I'm going to think it's boring. It's probably not boring. I don't know. They're probably going to be like, oh my God, what's happening? But I'm going to think I'm boring, and then I'm going to have like five gold necklaces on. I mean,
That's perfect.
how will I know, Amy, if it's too much? Can I just send you a picture and you go, oh, it's too much? Take two
Absolutely. I
necklaces
just
off.
usually take one thing off before I walk out of the house. Did Audrey Hepburn give that advice?
Yeah, I think that was Coco
Coco Chanel,
Chanel.
yes.
Yeah, look in the mirror. Whatever grabs your attention first, take it
Yeah,
off and leave it.
assess the situation, take something off, and head out.
Well, I like what Rachel Zoe says. She goes, you stand it, because she's obsessed with Chanel, right? She says, you stand in the mirror, the one thing that grabs your attention, add three more things just
Oh,
like
love it. Okay.
it.
I'll try that approach. So the five gold necklaces is on hold.
We're maximalists, so we just don't know how to stop. So I think that's good advice. I think I can take that advice. Hopefully that will help some of our listeners who do have kind of dual dressing needs. Well, it sounds like that's your work life, but your casual thrifting life sounds totally different. It sounds like you just kind of look for cool brands and things that grab your attention or something you're obsessed with and something you're looking for. But I definitely appreciate the professional attire advice. I'm just not that good at it. So
I
good
can't wait
luck.
to see your wardrobe of the day when you go to court. Please post it.
I will put my court
Okay.
wig or something. Like, you will definitely know. And I mean, it'll probably be really different from my other pictures, right?
Absolutely. I bet you. Don't even say anything. Let me see if I can guess.
Oh, that's a good idea. I will. Okay, I'll do
Okay.
that. So before we get on to the thrift level questions, I want to circle back to the sustainability. Do you have any tips for, well, no, not sustainability. We talked about that. There was something else. It was you had mentioned causes earlier, and that really grabbed my ear. One of the things that I guess I've been sort of obsessing about the past, like maybe a couple months, is thinking about the causes behind thrifting. And in my last episode, I talked about culture, but you mentioned that there's a cup, like Genesis is a shop you frequent, and it's because you like their causes.
Right.
Is that something you pay a lot of attention to?
Yeah, I try to. I think it's a good way that people kind of forget about is that, you know, thrift stores are in the business of, you know, making money, you know, for nonprofits. So, you know, there's another shop that's here locally that, you know, helps veterans. And, you know, if you can, you know, give $100, you know, to Neiman Marcus or give $100 to veterans, you know, which do you choose? It's just kind of a fun way to give back, you know, to donate money at the same time you're, you know, providing for your family, you know, and having some fun.
I really like that, and I feel inspired, Amy. And the reason I had you on this show, I want to mention that to the listeners, is because you became a Patreon, and when you became a Patreon, at one of the levels, you get to choose a topic, and your topic was you wanted to talk about brand shopping. And it's really interesting because we've talked about architecture, we've talked about recycling, and we've talked about causes. So we're going to come back to brands. But I really think it would be great to have an episode on causes behind thrift stores. So I'm going to look
Absolutely.
into
That's a
that.
great one.
I feel inspired to do that. So tell me a little bit about, I think it would be nice if you could give some tips on how to spot a good brand. I know that even though I definitely have a strong eye for vintage, my years in retail, I don't know if people know this or not, but I spent 10 years in Houston working in retail, and I ended my retail career at a couturier, which was sort of like the pinnacle of what I wanted to get to. And I learned a lot about high-end fashion in that decade. And I learned about what makes the garment low-end, what makes it mid-range, what makes it high-end. And I definitely use that in my thrifting. I can go through a rack without even touching it, and my eyes can pick out all the high-quality garments. What's your process?
Yeah, so I wish I had that kind of education. I really don't. I worked retail in high school and just was fascinated by, clothing and everything, and then just kind of moved on to other things. But I do just love a good quality piece. I mean, like architecture, I like something that's just very well constructed and that just states that it's quality and something that has longevity. So, materials that will last a long time. Stitching drives me crazy. I can't buy fast fashion because I just look at the stitching and obsess over it. I think it's, part of it is just kind of going through, upper end stores. And even though you can't, afford it, just to really pay attention to it and look at the pieces. Like you said, I mean, I don't really touch much. I just kind of glance through it all, and you can pick out just a quality piece and just looking at the fabric and the stitching of it. And then the next step is to pull it out and look at the label and look at the condition. But it's just really kind of a fun process. It's just like finding, a needle in a haystack.
It is, and that is what makes it fun. Do you have certain fabrics that you gravitate towards that say high-end to you?
Oh my goodness. I love cashmere and cashmere blends, and have found, quite a few cashmere blazers and sweaters that are in new condition. I recently found this Max Mara cashmere blend blazer that I just love. And so I guess, anything that's really kind of soft, to the touch, that, has that quality, I kind of gravitate towards. Also, like Eileen Fisher, I guess that's like more of like a rayon, type of blend, but kind of a nice, thick material that has a kind of a dense, like not weave, but what's the right word for that? You would know better than I would, but looking for kind of, thicker fabrics, that will really hold up.
I was looking to see as you were describing those things, like if there's some kind of good textile guide online. I do think that is a really good shortcut if you want high-end thrifted items. Really understanding textiles and stitchery is certainly a way to take a lot of time out of the process, because once you understand what you're looking for, even if you don't know what it means, if you have a sensibility for it, yeah, you don't even have to go through all the racks. You can use your eye to find those fabrics. So, like, I'm thinking off the cuff right now is, I think any kind of silk or silk blend I can spot with my eye most of the time. They just have a different, let's see,
It's like a
patina.
sheen to it. Yeah.
Yes, it's a patina to the fabric. It sort of hits your eye all at once, and it has a sheen. And so even if it's flat, meaning it has a matte finish, the silk thread has a sheen. You just have to get sensitive to it.
Yes, you're right.
The weave is going to tell you something too, because silk threads are by nature finer than polyester threads. The weave is going to be, it's just going to reflect that. Now, there are some really good polyester threads on the market these days. I've noticed it's getting harder and harder for me to tell some, between a silk blend and a polyester blend on some occasions, because the polyester's actually gotten really good. It's getting
It's getting
harder.
more difficult. Yes.
Yes, but the weave is going to tell you something. Polyester weaves are much denser, meaning they don't breathe as much.
Okay.
They're not as aerated, so
Right.
they're cl a closed weave. And a natural fiber weave is just going to have a little bit more opening in it, and that's something you can see a lot of the time too. Is there any kind of air in the fabric, or is it just like this solid sheet of no air, right?
I think you should get some textile experts on the show to discuss
I think
and
that would be
educate us all.
great.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
That would be fantastic because I'm not a textile expert. I'm just describing these in my own language. So I'm sure they could tell me what all of that means.
Please, and include some just, international textile information, because I love when I travel just to find kind of local textiles that have been like hand woven.
I love that. And I have noticed one other thing, and I want to include this because I think if I do have a textile expert on here, I want to go back to this episode and be like, and also tell me what this means.
Yes.
Is that I've noticed that luxury fabrics, when you stitch a luxury fabric, with the exception of some silks and linens, the seam is going to be, I don't know what the right word is, but it's going to be more flush. That's the word that comes to my mind. It's not going to buckle as much.
Right.
It's going to be, there's going to be just a slight difference in how it takes a stitch.
Right. Or just more attention to detail, and that it's almost like double stitched, in a way, right? To where, like you said, it is flat. There's just more, obviously, more care, given to it.
Yeah, now that's the stitchery part of it. And the stitchery part is, I think it is a really important part of luxury. And we definitely should have some seams, some, I don't want to say seam stress anymore. That just seems too gendered. I wonder what the right, oh, sewist. I think that's the new word. Sewist.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, me too. I want to have some sewist on the show to explain some of these things, but definitely the more quality garments are going to have more money spent on sewing. So that's what bangs the price up, you know. And you can get really good at seeing those. So I'll have some of those people come on and explain our lust for these quality items to us. I think that would be really helpful.
Please do, and some
Yeah,
visual
let's do.
examples as well.
Oh, great idea. I'll have them send me examples of what they educate us on. I think that would be really cool.
Please do.
And you know what? Maybe I'll do, Amy, is I'll pull a bunch of examples and have them explain them to us.
Okay.
That might be better, right? Thrifted examples.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll send you some as well.
Oh, perfect. And then I can send them along and say, explain why this garment's fabulous and this one isn't.
Please. Yes.
I think that would be a blast. Well, that's been really fun. I'm thank you for talking with me. I had a great time.
Oh, me too. Livy, thanks so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Let's do the thrift questions and see how much of an expert you are.
Okay.
All right, how often?
Definitely once a week on the weekends, and every now and then I'll pop into a store on the way home from work. Course, with the holidays, I feel like this month I've totally been just way too busy to even consider.
Okay, I'll take that. I get it. It's a hectic time. What about alone or with friends?
Always alone, always with my resting thrift face. I usually am left completely alone. I don't even understand when people say that they're harassed in stores. I must really give off a vibe.
You've perfected the face. It's like the get the fuck away from me, I'm shopping
Yeah,
face.
absolutely. Don't even bother.
AKA, don't talk to me.
Not even going to acknowledge your presence.
That's funny. Well, what about thrift gods?
Yeah, absolutely. If I believe in gods, it would be a thrift god. I love it. I think did was it you and your husband who pictured this parrot? Was that on one of your podcasts?
Oh my God, I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Oh
No,
my God,
it's him.
you have that stuck in my head now. So now after hearing your podcast, I'm like, okay, that's what I envision. Every time I get lucky, I think of this parrot kind of floating out there. Send up a prayer to the thrift god. Like one of the stories I wanted to tell you was is that I was on my way to Europe in August, and like 4 or 5 days before the trip, I was like, God, I really would love to have a denim jacket for this trip. It would just be perfect. And I had just given away my denim jacket that was a little too small anyway. And so I was like, I want a page denim jacket. So I went online. I was like, okay, it's like $200. I'm going to Europe can't spend the money. Then I went on eBay and was combing through eBay looking for it, and I found some for like $40. And I realized I'm not going to get this in time before Europe. So I was like, okay, John, I'm going to run up to the thrift store and see what I can find. And I went to one thrift store, hit the first rack, and found a page denim jacket in my size that was in brand new condition for $5.
I can't even. That's so good.
Right? Such a coincidence.
Oh, there has to be some kind of
Has to
mythical
be.
thrift. Yes. I feel like we need candles that say thrift gods on them, and you like burn them when you need a blessing.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to get on it. I'm on it. I'm on it, thrifters. I'm going to make some candles. Well, I'm not going to make
That'd
them, but.
be fun.
You know. Okay. List or spontaneous?
I always keep kind of a list in the back of my mind or on my phone, just in general things that I think, would kind of complete my wardrobe, but it's usually spontaneous.
Oh, I like it. It's a good combo.
Yeah, go with the flow.
Well, best or worst thrift story? I mean, was it your denim jacket or is there something else?
That was probably the best one. Another one is, and it also ha is probably the worst one,
Oh,
is that.
good.
So I was thrifting and I pulled this woman was just kind of, I don't know, she's just kind of all over me, just right next to me the whole time, just kind of right behind me. And I was trying to put space between us. And I pull out this Max Mara trench coat, probably like a $1,500 trench coat that's like in perfect condition. And she's like, what is that? And I'm like, well, it's just a trench coat. I love it. It fits, and I threw it in the cart. And she just kept following me around the store and talking to me about bringing different things to me and like, how do I look in this? And like, hey, it looks great. You should buy it. And she kept grabbing in my cart and pulling up this jacket. I was flapping her hand away and trying to divert her attention to other things. And finally she's like, well, tell me about this. What is it? So I had to kind of explain the brand and what it was. And then I ran to the cashier and checked out before she could, hijack it from me. But
That's so funny. She was a thrift stalker.
She was. And she was very sweet. And I didn't want to be mean to her at all. So I just, went along with it.
It's kind of ironic that the item she was thrift stalking was a trench coat.
I totally agree. She may have wanted to use it for flashing purposes. Who knows?
Right? She needs to get more stealthy in it. Like, why are trench coats synonymous with stealth? Like, I don't get it. Weird. Whatever. That's a good story. Thrift stalker.
Yep,
Yeah, we have to do
absolutely.
the same
So maybe
thing.
you should put some pepper spray in your thrift bag.
Yeah. Ooh, or what if it's like not pepper spray, but it's like a stinky
I
perfume?
love it. That's the perfect idea.
Called thrift stalker. What if it smells like a thrift store? What if it smells like mothballs?
Ideal, or just some old lady's horrible perfume.
That's too funny.
You don't want this item, it stinks.
Yep. That's it. It's got to be mothballs. I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure it's mothballs. All right. Well, thanks for coming on again. I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks so much, LaVie. Have a good evening and keep up the good work. It's a great show. We're enjoying it.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Thrift Therapy. I will see you here again in 2 weeks, and we will talk more thrifting. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Tell a friend, and as always, stay thrifty.